Okay, good evening. And you can open with me, please, into the book of Romans, chapter number 11. And I want to read from Romans 11, verse number 15 to verse number 20. I will lead us in prayer and then bring our message from verse number 20, entitled Be Afraid. So Romans 11, we'll start our reading at verse number 15. For if their rejection, the rejection of the Jews by God, brings reconciliation to the world, what will their acceptance mean but the miracle of life from the dead? Now, if the first fruits offered up are holy, so is the whole batch. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. Now, if some of the branches were broken off of the Jews, and you Gentiles, though a wild olive branch, were grafted in among them, among the apostles and prophets from the Old Testament Israel, and have come to share in the rich root, in the fatness of the cultivated olive tree of Christ, the inheritance of the kingdom, do not brag that you are better than those branches. Those who were cut off, those who have not believed. But if you do brag, you do not sustain the root. You don't sustain Christ, but the root sustains you by the gospel of the grace of God. Then you will say, the branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. The Jews lost it that I might inherit it. True. True enough. They were broken off because of unbelief, but you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, do not be high-minded, but fear. Be afraid. Our Father, as we hear this message, we ask for the power of your Spirit. If your Spirit comes upon us with demonstration and power, then we shall understand in a spiritual way. If you open our eyes, it is our responsibility to see, but it is you that give light, that give sight, that give an understanding. And you can do that now for our Lord Jesus Christ's sake. And we pray for you to do that even now by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The message that I want to bring here tonight, it is found in Hebrews 11, verse number 20. Be afraid. Your translation, it may read, do not be high-minded, but fear. But be afraid. Be afraid. And that my brothers, is an aspect of the gospel that must be taught. All of our dealings with God in election, in predestination, in the righteousness that comes unto us because of the gospel, it must not make us think that a godly fear is irrelevant and insignificant. There are many people who have this problem. I used to know a person I was very well acquainted to who told me that she doesn't have any more fear. She doesn't fear sinning. She doesn't fear falling. She doesn't fear falling away because of her father. I think she has fallen away. I haven't heard from her in a long time. As I look in places where she might be, I cannot find her. Not around the people of God. But if the gospel has this aspect of it that is mysterious, it is not ever going to be understood by any man. We can scratch our heads, we can bang our heads on the different sides of the aisle, but God is as sovereign as if man was not responsible, and man is as responsible as if God were not sovereign. It is a mystery that cannot be explained, that I am eternally secure in Christ, and yet I'm to be afraid. I'm to be afraid of falling away. I'm to be afraid of the fear of God that says that my self-confidence and my self-strength is in vain. Because that's what he is truly telling us here. In verse number 20, you stand by faith. The only reason that you and I are saved is because of the shed blood of the gospel in your and my faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not any power that we have. It's not any wisdom that we have. It's not any strength that we have. And we get to thinking that because we know something that somebody else does not know, is we get to think that we are special. But that's exactly what happened unto the Jews, and they failed. They trusted in themselves that they were chosen by God. Did they not? They trusted in themselves that they were righteous. They trusted in themselves that they were zealous, that they were very knowledgeable, that they were sincere, that they were wholehearted, that they were committed Christians. And I've been there, my brothers, so I know what I'm talking about, to trust in yourself and believe the truth in your head. And to believe it wholeheartedly, in the spirit, but the head knowledge take over and the spiritual knowledge be hidden. And so you're floating around in the storm, you're rowing, you haven't sunk, you haven't died, but you're struggling in your flesh instead of the spirit, because you've lost the sweet knowledge of the glory of God that's in the gospel. The power of the gospel is not me and you. It is not our intelligence. It is not our knowledge of spiritual things. It is not our knowledge of the Bible. It is a spiritual knowledge that only he can give. Even as Paul says, I want to know the power of them and not the speech of those who are puffed up. The church at Corinth knew all kinds of things about doctrine. The church at Rome is being taught by Paul himself, but he's adding in here, be afraid of trusting in yourself. because you are not the reason, I'm not the reason that I'm saved. Let's pick it up again at verse 15, and we'll work down to verse number 24. If the rejection of national Israel brings the reconciliation unto the world, if it brings the gospel to the world because the Jews lost it, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? The Almighty God's able to take them back unto his glory. He's able to take a person that's been cast out and bring him back. Now, if the first fruits offered up are holy, so is the whole batch. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. If the early Jews like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Elijah, if these men and women could believe God and have spiritual power, then the last Jew that God saves is also holy. He's obtained mercy just like them. And if the root is holy, which is our Lord Jesus Christ, so are the branches. And me and you stand because of Jesus Christ alone. It is not a strength I have in myself. And me and you will learn this. But if everything I knew in my head could always comfort me, I'd have no need of comfort or prayer. I know enough now. But it takes a renewal of the gospel day by day. It takes a moment by moment leaning on Christ. It takes our trials and afflictions to bring us back unto Jesus Christ. And my trial is to live unto the glory of God each and every day of my life. I want to turn you to a scripture in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And what I'm really looking for is the power of the gospel, not myself. Paul said it was not oratory. And I keep reminding you that it's not loudness and it's not quietness. Neither one of those things bring down the presence of God or show that he's here. There is something about order that's in our Bible. And we looked at it in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It's important. But the worship of God is not manifested by a bunch of noise. It's almost as if people think, Pastor, that by being loud at the praise and worship, they can make God forget about the rest of their life. It don't work that way. Almighty God looks upon the heart, and wherever he sees faith in Jesus Christ, he's pleased and he will uphold you. But he won't uphold you and me by head knowledge alone. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the children of Israel were brought out of Egypt, but you know that they perished in the wilderness. It was only a few of them that entered into the promised land. Only a few of them had faith. And he says here in verse number 9 and 10, let us not test Christ as some of them did and were destroyed by snakes, nor should we complain, nor should we murmur, nor should we be bitter against God as some of them did. All they did was to complain about their circumstances. All they did was say, I don't like how things are going here. All they did was say that I am discontent and were killed by the destroyer. He sent death. He sent snakes on them. He sent poisonous serpents unto bite them and sting them until they die. And if the Almighty God were killing people for murmuring now, how many would be dead? Oh, I know that Nigerians are a resilient people. Probably just about as resilient as any people I've seen on earth. But if God were killing people for murmuring, would you want to stand next to me and you? That's a question I have to answer. And I have to have a resolve that the God who saved my soul is not worth me murmuring unto. It's not worth his glory for me to complain and to be bitter at him about my circumstance when every bad circumstance comes from God. There's not one thing that will ever happen to me and you that's not from God's hand directly. He's sovereign. He's in charge of the devil. So why would I complain when his grace is sufficient? Why would I complain when he loves me? By the precious cross, I can see the blood flowing from his wounds. When the Lord Jesus, as he died for our sins, he murmured not in his heart even one time. Why would we complain when the great missionaries, men and women, I'm an admirer of the women like Amy Carmichael, who went into India as a single white woman to die there to share the gospel. And she did it in a way that brings honor to God. And I never read of any murmuring come from her lips about mosquitoes, about water, about the living conditions, about anything. Why should we murmur? But these trials come, these circumstances, these difficulties, to make me and you lean on Christ Jesus and use our gospel. And what I'm saying is when my spirit is discontent, I'm in my flesh, and the things I know in my head don't have power until I get them from God. And that's the whole realm of the gospel. I can know everything about predestination and election and fall off into hell. There's a lot of people who know about predestination who are going to hell when they die. It means nothing to their life. And they had a moment, Pastor, a few minutes, as the parable of the sower tells us, where they were all excited about the gospel, and then they went back to this world. Some of them go back to bad churches. Some of them were preaching it, but the people didn't like it, and so they stopped, and they keep it on the side. Do you remember I think it might have been the first question of the second day, the hostess lady of the building there asked, her basic question was, but what do we do when people don't like the truth? Who cares? Who cares? We better just preach it. And tell God, make somebody like it and love it. But we better not stop preaching. But that's what people do because it gets so hard, it's not paying off, and they're not satisfied. I had to be taught to be satisfied with this. But I'm elected. I'm kept by God. But not everybody who claims the name of Christ is kept by God. So don't be high-minded about your doctrine. Don't be high-minded about those Jews. Don't be high-minded about people who hear but do not listen. Maintain your fear keep near to God, lean on Jesus, beg him, show me mercy or I die. Don't ever let it leave your lips. Don't get too comfortable in the gospel. Be eternally secure and scared at the same time. You can't do it except by the Holy Spirit. You can't understand it, neither can I, but I believe it. That's what it says. And that's the truth of the gospel. I'm totally secure and I'm scared to death of sinning. I'm forgiven of all my sins and I don't want to offend them. It's both all the time and it can never be explained. Just fear. Just reverence God. Just bow to his word. Just put your faith in Christ. Walk by fear and trembling. Paul said that's how he preached. Now he was scared. He wasn't scared of people. He was scared of God. Don't want to offend you. I don't want unto be useless. I don't want the people putting their trust in me. There is no oratory in his epistles because he said, I'm crude in speech, but not in knowledge. That's why it's filled with knowledge, because that's what's important, or we would have worshiped his words instead of the gospel. That's why God is not impressed by the oratory or the tears of any man. He couldn't care less, except he caused it. Now, Apollos, he had oratory. It's his natural being. It's not him trying to show off. And Paul was trying to tame things to make them clear, because the trumpet has to give a very what? Certain sound. He was organizing his mind and his thoughts to make things plain unto sinners and saints that they could be saved. Be afraid of God. Be afraid of falling away. Be afraid of your joy not being filled. Be afraid of your first love being gone and taken away, and you falling back and you not being brought back, and stay near unto his leg. It's like a child in the wilderness at night. He ain't going nowhere. He's right near dad. You're going to have to trip over him half the time as you're trying to walk. He's scared. Let him get lost just a little bit, and he'll be so near unto you. That's how I got to be with God. I don't need no self-confidence at all, because a PhD in religion means nothing to the devil. He knows more than me. He was there. And since this time, he's heard every sermon and he knows these scriptures. Not by experience, but by head knowledge. And he's still a devil. He can't obey them. He can't stop chasing down God's enemy is what he must be. So I want him to be scared. I want to be bold and assured and confident and scared. And he says he'll put his fear in our heart. Let's go back into Romans 11. It's all about Jesus Christ. All glory is him. I don't have any strength. I'll go to hell if left to myself. He doesn't keep me. I perish and die. No possibility of being saved. I won't let go of him because he won't let go of me. And I'll keep coming and putting my trust in Jesus Christ. As a helpless sinner without him. Now, if verse number 17, if some of the branches were broken off, if some of the Jews, some of national Israel, and you Gentiles, me and you, were a wild olive branch, I'm an idolater, I am a Gentile by nature, I'm worshiping statues and frogs and other people and my leaders and the totem pole. West Africa was conquered by Islam, actually, in its heyday. And if you were grafted in among them, if you were brought into Jesus Christ and have come to share in the fatness, in the rich root of the cultivated, the fatness is Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the vine. You are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. All of our source for salvation, all of our strength, all of our wisdom, all of our righteousness, all of our redemption, all of our goodness, it just comes from Him. All of our hope with God, all of our peace with God, all of our power over sin, all of our knowledge that's in our soul is from Christ. Take away Christ by faith, and what do we have left? Head knowledge on the way to hell. A fearful trembling and a looking for the day of judgment. I know so many people who have a guilty conscience every time they see me. And it ain't because I'm out to get them. It's because they ain't come back to Christ. And they know I'm here to tell them just by my existence, come on back to Christ. Don't let that happen to you. Of a heartache, it would be more than I could bear. He would hold me up, but to come back here and there's no gospel, I would just. But the woe unto your souls would be worse than any pain I could feel. And don't let you find me in 5 or 10 years and I've lost my mission. Be scared of that. Because it's going to be people that you thought had it who didn't get it. And you're going to be looking at them in 5, 10, 20 years and saying, what happened to them? I'm glad that's not me. I wouldn't trade places with them for all the world. Very few make it though. Very few keep attending those conferences year after year. Very few die and grow old in the gospel because they didn't fear. And so they didn't stay near unto Jesus. He'd save you. He'd help you. He'd strengthen you. But He's the fatness. The fatness is not in the branch. It's not in my mind. It's not in my life. It isn't in the fact I'm somebody or I know these things or I can preach or I got zeal. Zeal will wear off. I was on my way here. It's the boys were playing football. That's what at home we call soccer. And there was a little small boy. And he popped, scored a winning goal. And he was so confident, just a little small boy, all these older kids. And I said, in the U.S., a person like that with talent would have so many opportunities as he was growing up. And I wish that they had it here. That these boys could have an opportunity to go to college and university over their athletic ability. And they would strive and compete and be great. But he can be very zealous after football in his flesh and not know God. And a person can be very zealous for a few minutes after this gospel too. And they can know it up here in their head. And they can utter it with their mouth. But you look at them 5 or 10 years later and it's gone. They've moved on to something. That's why men don't preach Christ who know the doctrine. There's a lot of men, as you mature in this gospel, that you're going to meet people and they say, oh yeah, election, predestination. But when they stand up in the pulpit, it's dead. Because, pastor, it isn't in their heart. And all they've got is morality. and church programs and growth and excitement and doing good unto people, you know, trying to feed on the homeless and to build more churches and to raise money, everything in religion but Christ. And they know it in their head. And at once they rejoice. Now it's dead and gone. It's not there. That's a curse. Oh, I don't want that. The fatness is Christ. He is the beauty of the gospel. He is the glory of God. It's not the branch. It's the rich root of the cultivated olive tree of the kingdom of Christ. Verse number 18 says, do not brag that you are better in those branches. Those people that were cut off. It's not because they're not as smart as you. Some of them Jews were brilliant enough. It's not because they didn't know their Bible. They just didn't know it spiritually. It isn't because they hadn't heard Christ preach. They walked the streets. It just never happened to them spiritually. But if you do brag, just remember this, hey Shimu. You do not sustain the root. You're not in charge of things. You're not God Almighty. You're not the redeemer of the flesh of Israel. You're not the chosen one. I am a chosen one. He is the chosen one of God. But the root, our Lord Jesus Christ, he sustained you. All blessings come to us for Christ's sake. That's the reason that me and you are not going unto hell. It's because God looked at us in Christ Jesus. He created us in Christ Jesus. He foreknew us and elected us in Christ Jesus. He predestined us in Christ Jesus. He redeemed us in Christ Jesus. We died in Christ Jesus. We were resurrected in Christ Jesus. Everything is in Christ. And as you go back in Ephesians 1, it says in him, in Christ, in whom. It's talking about him the same time. 13, 14, 15. It's all about him. He's everything. He's the gospel. He's the infatuation of God's people. And our souls are happy. Then, verse 19, you will say at the branches that the Jews, the Israelites, were broken off. And this is pride talking now. So that I might be grafted in. It's because I'm so important and I'm so special. Oh, really? Is that what Paul's going to say? Oh, no. Paul says, true enough. It was to bring you in. But look more deeply at the subject. They were broken off. Why? Because of unbelief. They did not take advantage of their privilege. But you stand by faith. Put your faith in Christ every day. Every morning when you wake up, look to him and then look to him all throughout the day. And every time your soul is discontent, look back to Christ and get power and get fed. Get what your soul needs from the Son of God. And do not be a lifeless church member with all the knowledge in your head. That's a curse. That's Ichabod. It's got to be on the inside. And it's by faith it gets in. You live by it. That means when I sinned, I come back to him until I'm reconciled and there's peace. I do not walk far away from Christ saying, I know there is forgiveness, but I'm going to walk in my strength. You will fail. Just like Peter. He was walking. He was following our Lord Jesus afar off as they led him to be crucified. Next thing you know, he is warming his hands at the fire of the enemies of God. Next thing you know, just a little slave girl says, ain't you one of them? And he starts to curse. I swear to God, I don't know him. May I be punished by God if I know that man. That's what Peter did. He cursed himself. And me and you are the same. I'm the most helpless baby in the history of the world without Jesus Christ. That's what I want you to understand. Faith, not self-sufficiency. Not knowledge, but faith in Jesus Christ. Not privilege, but faith. The Jews had privilege, but they did not have faith. They stayed religious, but they had no faith. You stand by faith. And what faith means is I'm leaning on him. I'm trusting in him. Sink or swim, it's him or I die. He's all I have. I don't have a plan B. There is no other way I'm going to make it. If your soul is like that, he'll help you. If you don't have nothing else, he'll be there for you. Do not be arrogant. Do not be high-minded. But be afraid. Be afraid. And this fear is a godly fear because it will bring us unto Jesus Christ, and he will help you. He will not let you down. Amen. If your only hope is Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.
My lifetime, I will give up my lifetime. Oh, my lifetime.